Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
This is an absolutely awesome time to be a sports fan, especially in our state. Braves baseball today, after the rainout yesterday in Philadelphia, getting a chance to see them get their season started today. So many of the folks in our audience, myself included, incredibly excited about that. Only a few days away from the start of the Masters, couple of weeks away. That's obviously a really great thing there as well. I still love the NCAA tournament, even if Georgia's not a part of it. That's ongoing. We'll talk more about that here coming up in just a little bit, too. And in addition to all of the excitement about all these sporting events, I would say for our audience, justifiably so, something else that exists on the sports calendar that we're also just as excited about, that's G-Day. That G-Day is a big part of our fun when it comes to sports in our state during the spring. And I think as we get closer, we're only a couple of weeks away now, as we get closer and closer to this, I think we start to have a whole lot more reasons to get excited about what we might see. Some guys a year older and perhaps a year better. Other guys seeing them for the first time. But either way, so much genuine enthusiasm for the product that Georgia's going to put out on display on April 13th for everybody to see. And if you want to get there where the rest of us are, as excited about this spring game, one of the invitations I'm going to have for you is a couple of things here. First of all, check out yesterday's edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Terrence Edwards, the great former Georgia wide receiver, recently had a chance to be a part of a Georgia practice watching that. And Terrence gave us some really good information about some of what he was seeing there. And if you want kind of an insider look at kind of behind the scenes, what went on behind closed doors at the Georgia practice, Terrence Edwards gave you some incredibly strong stuff on all of that yesterday. Now, if you didn't get the chance to see the full show, the other thing that you can kind of see now is, and I tell you, what a great step forward this has been for Dog Nation as of late. Our good friend, new colleague, Cody Chaffins, who's been doing such great stuff, and Jay Black's been a part of this too. These YouTube shorts and things like that, where you're kind of getting sort of brief clips of some of the stuff that you're seeing on some of our Dog Nation shows, that's a great thing to experience as a part of our Dog Nation YouTube page and the other social media platforms like Instagram and I believe TikTok and, you know, things like that. So cool to see some of this kind of stuff all over the internet and people having a good time with all of that. And great to see such a strong reaction to Terrence Edwards' appearance yesterday. In fact, go back to the Dog Nation YouTube page. You can rewatch the full interview with Terrence yesterday if you want all the information that Terrence was sharing as it relates to Georgia spring practice. But one thing in particular I want to highlight here. When Terrence was watching that practice last week, he talked about the performance he saw of a couple of Georgia incoming freshmen, guys you would expect to be doing well even early in their Georgia career in the practice field. Apparently they are K.J. Bolden, Ellis Robinson, K.J. the five-star safety, Ellis the five-star cornerback, apparently already doing big things. In fact, Terrence going so far yesterday to say that when he saw Georgia practice last week, Ellis Robinson pulled off an interception that reminded Terrence one of the all-time greats in the Georgia program, saying this really looked like what Champ Bailey had done in the past. This is good stuff from Terrence. It's yesterday. It's a part of sort of a good vibe show for us. We kind of roll into an Easter weekend. Let's hear Terrence Edwards talking about K.J. Bolden, talking about Ellis Robinson.
So I've known K.J. since he was a little kid. He's done some training with me when he thought he was a receiver. I've known him forever. And the one thing that you can see from K.J. is his confidence that he belongs. Even if he's not doing it exactly right, or he may have a missed assignment because he's still learning and adjusting to the college game, but his confidence level that he belongs, that's the part that you have to get over a lot of these kids, that the confidence level. And football is all about believing in yourself. And KJ believes in his ability. Is he doing everything right yet? Probably not, but his confidence, it just bleeds over onto the field of play, and that's half the battle. So that's going to get him on the field earlier. And if any other coaches were there to see this interception that Robinson had, this diving interception, where I think Ryan just threw the ball up, he just made this diving interception that was just unbelievable, Champ Bailey-ish type play. Like the secondary that we will have in the next year or so, it's probably could be potentially just off talent. We know it goes a little bit deeper than talent, but just talent alone, this could be one of the top groups that we've ever had with KJ and Omar and that group. It's something special to watch.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a Georgia fan right now, you like to hear that. Praise for KJ Bolden. Does he know everything that he's supposed to be doing yet? No. Is he doing it with confidence? Is he making whatever mistakes he's making, is he making them at full speed with the full belief that he can be a big-time player at this level? Yes, he is. If you're a Georgia fan, do you like hearing that? You better believe that you do. Do you like hearing the comparison between Ellis Robinson because of a play that he made and an all-time great like Champion Bailey? I believe that you like that there as well. What these guys could be as a part of a future Georgia secondary, how much fun is that? The ability they could make as well to contribute to this year's team, that's really fun too. And the chance to see this with our own eyes coming up on G-Day in a couple of weeks, that is a really cool thing there as well. Now, the other part about Terrence's evaluation, as I said before, go to the Dog Nation YouTube page. You can see the full interview with Terrence from yesterday. It's more stuff like that on what he saw from Georgia practice if you missed yesterday's show. But the other thing that makes what Terrence says there pretty cool is the fact that for the most part, you know, not the Champ Bailey-style interception necessarily, but the overall validation of the fact that Bolden and Ellis have kind of looked the part thus far at Georgia practice, that's also been confirmed by the most important source of all, Georgia coach Kirby Smart there too, because he also talked about both those guys this week when he met with reporters. It sounds like he's also at least, you know, pretty happy so far with the performance in practice of these two incoming freshmen. This is what Kirby Smart had to say.
Yeah, they're first spring players. They're talented players. Everything they were advertised to be in terms of being good football players, instinctive. They both learn well. They both have toughness. I think both of them will contribute on special teams because they can run, hit, tackle. I'm excited about those guys. You know, the expectation of the outside world is that they're going to set up the place on fire. We have good football players here. They're going to go compete with those guys and hopefully earn some ability to play and play in time.
So listen, I don't take it lightly when Kirby Smart says, oh yeah, those guys are everything they were advertised to be, because when you think about loudmouth blowhards like me and shows like this that like to hype everything up, you know how Ellis Robinson was advertised and you know how KJ Bolden was advertised. We like to blow things up around here. We like to make things a really big deal. And if that's the kind of advertising we were doing for KJ and Ellis, when Kirby Smart looks in on Georgia practice and says, yeah, it's about right. That's about what they are. Super talented, inexperienced, learning their way around, but unmistakable talent. Well, that's about as good as you can hope for here right now. And Terrence Edwards also backs it up with his own eyes. The takeaway on this is G-Day going to be a lot of fun because we get to see this for ourselves. What Kirby says he sees, what Terrence Edwards has said that he has seen, we'll get to see it for ourselves. Will it be perfect? No. Will it be exciting? Almost certainly the case. Can't wait for that. Now, let me shift gears completely to something else. And we're kind of, as I said before, in a little bit of a good vibe spirit here today because we're excited about Easter weekend. We've always got a lot going on around the world of sports. We're trying to keep it very, very positive here, rolling into a Friday, the right mood for a weekend. And I wanted to highlight something just for a moment on a completely different topic. And that is, you know, Kirby Smart being asked this week about how he feels about the 2025 schedule that Georgia is set to play. And the fact that Kirby Smart's feeling about this, when you think about home games that include Alabama for only the fourth time this century, Texas for the first time ever, another date against what we assume is going to be Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, and obviously the attention that program always seems to generate, that the excitement that Georgia fans have for all of this is seemingly reflected by Georgia's coach there as well, Kirby Smart, because frankly, when Kirby talked about that during his press conference this week, he sounded very much like we sounded on this show when we first found out about this slate of games. This is what Kirby Smart said about that topic here this week as well.
Me personally, I just got one of the toughest road schedules in the country. I'd like to see it flipped where I got the opportunity for our fan base to have probably the best home schedule ever in Georgia history. So you start changing the model, I don't get the flip of the model. And they presented us multitude of opportunities. The most continuity is in doing this for two. Let's see what it's like. Let's see how things play out. Let's see what the CFP becomes. How many teams are going to be in the playoff? Does that designate us to go to nine? Does television have something to do with that? There's a lot of unanswered questions, and to have a little bit of a little bit of just continuity and know what you're going to get, I'm completely fine with that.
So to me, there are three things that I like about this. As we've said before, eventually the SEC probably needs to come up with a scheduling model that feels more permanent, and they need to kind of conjure the kind of agreement that allows that to happen. That's an issue for the league, I believe, to deal with at some point in time. But on the Georgia part of this, what I like about Kirby Smart's statement there is, first of all, when Kirby says this is probably the best home schedule that Georgia's ever had, you know, he speaks about this as more than just the current coach of this particular version of the program. He speaks as someone who graduated from Georgia, who's followed Georgia, who has roots in the state that run back deep. Kirby's got some living memory of the kinds of schedules that Georgia's played in the past. And, you know, for those of us who, when Georgia hired Kirby Smart in the 2016 season, wondered, you know, what's it going to be like having an alumnus as your head coach? Well, this is sort of what it's like. This is someone who has a little bit of a deeper knowledge of what Georgia football is. And when he's saying this is the best home schedule this program's ever had, he's sort of putting some of that on display, which I really like. The other thing that I really like here is I don't want my coach scared of tough games. I don't want my coach saying, well, how come our schedule's not easier? Because just from a game theory standpoint, you want schedules to be as hard as you possibly can if you feel like you're the best team, because the harder the path is, the more the best is eventually going to be proven. And if that's who you are, then you want to be, you know, kind of have that borne out over the course of a rigorous schedule. You want everybody, in other words, playing tough schedules. So Kirby Smart doesn't shy away from tough schedules. I like that. I think also there's sort of a logical idea to tough road slate this year. Why not flip-flop that for the future year and give Georgia a chance to host some of these big games and venues they'll have to travel to for this upcoming season? But the sort of final point on all this is that, you know, college football doesn't always present us with positive change. We know that. There are a lot of things going on around the sport right now where you're left to wonder, is this a change for the better? And some of the stuff you hear about the future of like the NCAA basketball tournament, March Madness, an event that I've loved. Sometimes you wonder, wait, is this event changing, and is it changing for the better? And sometimes you fear that it might not. And there are moments, perhaps, on a show like this, if we're going to try to be as honest, you know, as we can be, candid as we can be, we may have to criticize the direction of college athletics. We may have to say these are changes that are happening that aren't for the good, and they aren't strengthening college athletics for the future, at least from our perspective. There may be some moments we have to say that. But since that negativity may be unavoidable in certain situations, when you can be positive, you probably should. And when you can point out, hey, here's a change that's made our life better, I just think it's the right thing to do. And for all the weirdness that the SEC is dealing with, for all of the uncertainty about what the SEC specific future is going to look like, some of it may not be changed for the better. The schedule that Georgia's playing in 2025 is certainly an example of Georgia benefiting from what the SEC is doing. By bringing in Texas, that gives you a marquee home game. By opening up the schedule to more than just your division opponents, that gives you a chance to see programs like Alabama more frequently. And yeah, they're tough games, but it's also fun and interesting. It's a great entertainment product for those of us who make this probably our favorite pastime. So I'm glad to hear Kirby Smart speak positively about that 2025 home schedule, because I think it is certainly a really fun thing for Georgia fans. And I think it sort of adds to what we said before, which is right now it's a great time to be a sports fan in our state. All of the cool stuff, whether it be Braves or Masters, whatever else, that's happening here. And as you kind of roll through the next couple of years, we expect Georgia football to remain just as fun and just as entertaining as it has been for this last, you know, couple of years worth of national championship era. In fact, more than just entertaining, we expect Georgia to remain just as much of a threat to win not just this national championship, but maybe the next, the one after that, and the one after that. That we really are in a truly special era for Georgia football. It's ongoing spring practice here right now, and it's going to continue in 2025 when a whole bunch of big football games get played right here between the hedges. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're glad to have you however you get to us. Video, all platforms, radio, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, podcast, whichever one of those you choose to use. Continue to be so thankful to the loyal podcast audience that shows up on Apple and Spotify and DogNation.com. Being a part of our show, really, really appreciate all of that. And we appreciate our friends at Kroger for making it all possible for you there as well. And of course, this weekend we are celebrating Easter, and so many of you getting ready for the Easter egg hunt. You're getting ready for the great meal with family. You're getting ready to just sort of hang out and just sort of, you know, appreciate this special time of year and all the important reflections that go on during a time like this. And Kroger is the place you go to make that entire Easter celebration, everything from the, I talked last week about the plastic grass that you put into the Easter baskets or the eggs themselves, whether you get like the plastic eggs or you get the real eggs and you dye them or whatever your family tradition is, all of that for you right there at Easter. The decor, the food essentials, all the stuff that makes it fun. The candy, those little Hershey's Easter bunnies, I love those things. The Easter, Reese's Easter bunnies, I like those a lot too. All of that stuff, you can find it online. Kroger.com/Easter for more information about how Kroger's taking care of you for Easter. Kroger.com/Easter for more on that. All right, before we bring on Jeff Sintel, I want to actually start the Georgia recruiting conversation with him prior to that as we go around the doghouse, poured today by the Finnish Long Drink. And there is a very, very interesting set of storylines playing out right now. All of this to be examined further with Jeff. But as a precursor to that, as we said before, around the doghouse, poured by the Finnish Long Drink, I want to look at some of that's here right now. First of all, Jeff, freshly back from a trip to Nashville, where he had a chance to talk to newly minted Georgia quarterback commit, the number one prospect of all, according to 24/7 Sports, for the class of 2026, Jared Curtis from Nashville. I would say we were, for the most part, surprised last weekend when Curtis announced his pledge to Georgia after having visited Georgia last week. We did talk about Curtis on the show last Friday, but not with the mindset that he was about to commit to a UGA. That's certainly not the case. But why did Jared pull the trigger on that Georgia commitment? Well, this week, Jared told Jeff Sintel as a part of Dog Nation Daily, or I should say as a part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger, exactly why that was. This is what Curtis, the new UGA commit, had to say about that.
Yes, sir. Just the stability in the coaching staff, and knowing Coach Smart and Coach Bubba aren't going anywhere. And those are my two biggest connections at UGA, and just getting to build a connection with them is always special. I was talking to Coach Smart a little bit before practice, like 20 minutes in his office, and it all went good and stuff. And I told Coach Bobo and Coach Gummy like 5 minutes after I got out of his office that I was wanting to commit. And they was really happy for me. And I was like, so how should I tell Coach Smart? And they was like, you just go up to him, say, hey, you want to be a dog? And go Dogs. And then that's that. And I was like, so that's pretty much what I've done.
What a great story from a man currently who's only a sophomore in high school. So certainly an interesting young man and an exciting future for him. And already a guy earning a lot of attention for the class of 2026. And now here at Georgia, we'll talk to Jeff Sintel in a moment more about the visit they had with Jared Curtis and what he learned about this new UGA commit. But in addition to that, there's another big story that's out there right now. The twists, the turns, the backs and forths as it relate to a lot of those, whether it be Georgia commit, Justice Terry, at least last weekend he was, or Georgia targets such as Isaiah Gibson, who took that visit out there to USC, and what the aftermath of all of that looks like, specifically as it relates to Justice Terry. There are a couple of cryptic messages on social media this week that have gotten some attention. David Cooper's a Georgia staffer who's always out there kind of waving the flag for UGA on social media. He has said something recently on the X platform that a lot of folks thought might be related to some of the stuff kind of playing out with Terry. We don't know for sure, but that's the assumption. Let me show you David Cooper here, the Georgia staffer on X, talking about that. That's actually Eric Henderson, the USC assistant coach. Yeah, let's do David Cooper here first. He says, I'm trying to give you some context for this. Cooper says they love that quick checker spotlight game. But always forget, we've been vets in this and love to play chess. In other words, Cooper says they're playing chess, not checkers. He says, hashtag dogs on top. Remember that, hashtag go dogs. Now, that's a cryptic message. We don't know for sure exactly what he meant by that. But some people taking that, the idea of playing a quick game of checkers, meaning that's USC trying to grab something quickly. But Cooper sending out the warning that we're veterans at this and we play chess, meaning they've got more, sort of smooth moves coming. Now, was that directed towards USC? We don't know. But as you briefly saw there a moment ago, and now I'll show it to you again, some people kind of wondering if that got a USC response. Eric Henderson is the high-profile defensive line coach in place at USC. Trojans fans believe he's going to resurrect their long-dormant defense. What he put out this week was, don't believe everything you hear. And he references dog work. That's not a reference to the Georgia Bulldogs. That's a reference to, I guess, a catchphrase that he's famous for. So some people sort of wondering, is this a back and forth? Is this an example of USC getting Lancey here because of the fact that Georgia, as we told you, is not giving up on anything just because Justice Terry's committed to USC? In fact, we have new details here that we'll talk to Jeff Sintel more about here coming up in just a moment. But Terry, fresh off that USC commit, also expected to be back in Athens again very soon as well. The folks over at Dawgs247 reporting that he's going to return to Georgia for a visit on April the 12th. Justice Terry back in Athens here. So whatever NIL dollars that USC allegedly has spent to get the commitment from Terry, apparently that money doesn't go quite as far as it used to because it hasn't bought very much in the way of loyalty for USC in the case of Terry. Terry already officially announcing his plans to be back there at Georgia. So a lot going on with all of this and plenty for us to talk to Jeff Sintel about coming up. Before I bring on Jeff to the show, let me remind you this is Around the Doghouse, poured today by our friends at the Finnish Long Drink. And if you want your Easter weekend to be as good as it can be, of course, the Finnish Long Drink, great way to do all of that. Your chance to enjoy all those great Finnish Long Drink flavors, such as the peach flavor here in the Peach State for a limited time. Nothing goes better with spring, I would say, than the peach-flavored version of the Finnish Long Drink or the Long Drink Cranberry, which our good friend Kaylee Manziel, who's with us today, says that she's starting to really enjoy Long Drink Zero. That's no carbs, no sugar. Long Drink Strong, 8.5% alcohol by volume. And, of course, the traditional. It's the blue can. It's the grapefruit flavor. It's the gin kick. You can check out all of that. And you can find out the great story. You know, it started in Helsinki back in the 1950s when the Summer Games were there. And the last few years, it's been here in America. And now it's in Georgia. It is wherever you are. So find them online, thelongdrink.com. You can put in your zip code. You can find out where to pick some up today. The Finnish Long Drink, pouring around the doghouse for us here today.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, let's speak to Jeff Sintel. He's got his Braves jersey on for opening day. You love to see that. That's certainly exciting. And there's also exciting things afoot for Georgia recruiting there, too. Obviously, Georgia fans, Jeff, last Sunday, disappointed when Justice Terry flip from Georgia to USC. Isaiah Gibson, also been a big-time Georgia target. He chose USC there as well. But we got a reason to believe that Georgia's not giving up this fight anytime soon, including published reports of Terry taking a visit again to Georgia coming up in the month of April, kind of sort of a prelude to G-Day there a bit. So it certainly seems like, Jeff, Georgia's not giving up on these guys that just visited L.A. this past weekend and really planning to sink their teeth into this recruitment a long way from being done, apparently.
Yeah, Brandon, I guess this would be the definition of a Hollywood theatrics, Hollywood drama. Good morning, everyone. That's obviously something to start with here with Justice Terry. I said on my show this week, Brandon, on Before the Hedges, that I think this is definitely not over. I actually went to kind of a rare length to extend my feeling that I think Justice Terry winds up a dog. I think this recruitment is going to look a lot like Mykel Williams did in 2022. You go out to California, you're from rural Georgia, and it gets you, man. It gets you. It should. Air travel, the glitz, the glamour, all that stuff. I mean, it really seems to me like there's a lot of folks out there that go, are schools, like, are they wanting marketing right now? Are they wanting a big headline? Are they wanting buzz? And it certainly seems like that was what USC was shooting for in terms of enticing a lot of guys to go ahead and commit, a lot of guys that had never been to the school before. And for all those tinfoil hat theorists out there that go, like, have we reached a day and age where, you know, commitments are sometimes just kind of staged, or commitments are some schools, you know, offering things that really have these kids jump on board. And then later on, I mean, I think Justice is going to get back to Georgia. He's going to realize how close it is to get to Athens. He's going to remember all the things he really loved about Athens and how much easier it is for his family to get to Athens to watch a game versus USC for home games. I think all that stuff, the development, how much he loves Georgia. Brent, this guy's been recruiting Elijah Griffin for the Georgia staff for over a year to come join him. And I don't think this sort of thing will hold. Of course, never say never in recruiting, but I would just say stay tuned on that one.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And to keep it on Terry here for a moment, we know that Georgia got the home state advantage. Georgia has the better track record of developing defensive linemen. Do you believe that whatever Georgia is offering from an NIL standpoint is competitive with what USC is offering from an NIL standpoint?
Yeah, I think what it is they're just trying to juice up all this. They're trying to get a lot of guys to jump on board. They hire the former defensive coordinator from the Los Angeles Rams, the guy that coached Aaron Donald. And then last weekend, I'm told that Donald was around, kind of hanging around the program, talking to players. I've heard another player kind of tell me, I've been able to totally verify this yet, but Donald might be that guy hanging around the program, like kind of an involuntary graduate assistant type thing or something like that, that, or maybe just be hanging out, just talking to guys or whatever. But I think that sort of thing is what catches the ear and eyes of a prospect like Justice Terry. Georgia's going to continue to recruit in Brandon. And I will say this, you know, Georgia is not totally, Georgia has its own NIL game. And we've seen in the past that defensive line guys, big men, big maulers, you know, Georgia's not going to set the curve and break the bank, but they're going to be competitive in NIL in certain situations.
Last week, I asked you about Jared Curtis, the 2026 quarterback. I did not do that with the mindset that he might commit the following day. That was certainly a surprising piece of news for me last Saturday. You had a chance this week to catch up with Curtis. We played a clip from your interview with him a moment ago. How did you find him, and what did you make of the relatively quick work that Georgia did to make him the first 2026 commit? And I guess the centerpiece of that class, he is, after all, ranked number one, regardless of position, from 24/7 Sports for the following cycle. What do you make of the very, very quick news cycle involving Jared Curtis?
Yeah, Jared is a really great story, Brandon. You're going to love this one. First of all, I'm going to try and see which one can, because I've seen on social media, Brandon, all these wonderful shorts, that it's chortle season or it's a head bobbing season for BA right now when it comes to takes on your show. Let me see which one of these you like better. First of all, he told me he had visits. His family told me they had visits scheduled for Alabama, Ohio State, several schools over the next week, over this weekend. And when he committed to Georgia, he's like, Mom, we're done. Cancel them all. We're done. This is what commitment feels like to Jared Curtis. And that means he's going to be a commitment. He's only going to visit Georgia. That's option A, Brandon. But behind door number two, we've got this one. And this is a very well-played game by the mother of Jared Curtis. This is Barbara Curtis. And she told me, you know how, Brandon, you know how moms, it's like the Disney Hollywood recruiting script. They don't want to put their opinion out there. They don't want to say too much. They don't want to influence the young man in terms of where he should go. But his mother absolutely loved the dogs. She loved the dogs from the jump. When Todd Monken offered Curtis, he was the first guy to offer Curtis a while back. When he offered Curtis, she basically cried for 2 days. She was so happy about that offer. And let's take it a step further. Here's what Mama Curtis did after that. She very subtly would wear Georgia earrings every once in a while, or a Georgia shirt every once in a while. Now, she wouldn't get on the horn and say, I think you should go here, I should think you should go there. But very subtly, she would play, you know, mixing in Georgia gear, Georgia apparel, maybe on a Target run, maybe on a Starbucks run, maybe going out to see some clients or whatever. And that's how she kind of got her opinion out there that she really wanted to see Jared at Georgia all along.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a great story and a great influence. Obviously, Mama typically gets what she wants a lot of times in these kinds of recruitments. Beyond that, Jeff, how do you think the Georgia fans should view this? Because it wasn't that long ago we saw a transfer quarterback change his mind about coming to Georgia a couple of days after originally announcing. This is 2 years of waiting for a young man that right now is truly, you know, very young. So if you're a Georgia fan looking to process this information, what's the right way to feel about this Curtis announcement?
Well, I think the canceling of the visits is pretty good. I think he's already going to start recruiting in other cycles. But, Brandon, this is a kid. I want you to imagine. He feels like he's classified as a Nashville-type prospect, but and a private school prospect at that, but really not the stereotype here. He lives about maybe 45 minutes away from Nashville and from his school in Nashville Christian. It's basically on the, you know, southwestern part of the Nashville metro area, but he's got a 45-minute commute every day to go to school. The other thing for me, Brandon, is there's a sense of maturity there, even though he's a 2026 commit. I don't know if a lot of people know this. I don't know if it's been reported in a lot of spots, but he was actually a 2025 prospect. He reclassified. His true kind of class year is 2025. And he just repeated a year of eighth grade football. You know, that typical thing we see, I can name off a lot of all SEC, NFL, even Georgia quarterbacks that were kind of redshirt eighth graders or redshirt kindergartners. It's kind of common. But the thing about the skill set is he's 6'4", he's 225. He runs all over the place. He was a former running back. He was trained as a running back. Didn't really start playing football until he was a freshman. So this is a guy that, you know, people would say, oh, he's 2025. He would be a five-star prospect in 2025 should he stayed in his grade level. The fact that he's another year to mature in high school football says a lot. But maturity is the thing I want to stress with your question, because he's a kid that really feels like a little bit Jake Fromm-ish. He likes to fish. He likes to modify and ride four-wheelers, and he likes football. And that's about it. I think the pecking order here with what he's been looking at, he considered Ohio State closely. He considered Georgia closely. I think this is one, barring like changes with Kirby Smart, changes with Mike Bobo. He even told me, Brandon, that was the number one reason why he went ahead and committed to Georgia, is because he had every confidence that Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart are not going anywhere. And when you can say that about the head coach and the offensive coordinator, there are very few programs that are considering Curtis that were really recruiting hard for him that offer that same level of stability that Georgia does, much less the players, the winning, the championships, and the development.
Georgia also added another commit from Tennessee last weekend, the class of 2025, Stephon Shivers. Big man, run-stopping defensive lineman, as we said before. When it comes to this sort of like interior space-eating kind of nose guard-style defensive tackle, I don't care about recruiting rankings. If he really is a run-stopping force, and Georgia wouldn't be recruiting him if he was, then there aren't 12 players in the state of Tennessee, you know, better than he is right now. That his value is obviously, you know, in great excess of that. A little bit like Jamal Jarrett coming out of North Carolina a couple of years ago. But beyond that, what do you make of Shivers being added to the class of 2025 and giving Georgia a little beef in the interior of its defensive line?
Yeah, Brandon, I'm gonna tell you, he's a guy that I don't care what the rankings say, flush those rankings. Stephon Shivers is an absolute dude, and he's a dude for Georgia because he plays a crucial zero tech position. Georgia absolutely needs to have a guy like that, Brandon. He's 6'4.5". He's 355 right now. Here's things we have never seen before with a man of that stature, Brandon. Look at his high school highlight tape. The first play on his highlight tape, Brandon, he's running out of the I formation for a 62-yard touchdown. He's a 1,000-point scorer in high school basketball. He says his commitment is over. He says he's shut down. He just spent two very cool days. Look at him, Brandon, picking him up and putting him down right there. Can we count the business decisions being made on that as he stumbles through, rumbles through A-gap, B-gap right there? I mean, for him, this is very interesting. He told me that, he said, man, I don't think I'm done growing. My grandpa's 6'8". He said, I might end up 6'6", 6'7", by the time everything's said and done. You see that feet? You see that movement skill? Brandon, we've never talked about a zero tech going anywhere that had 1,000 career points in high school basketball. And that's through three seasons as well. He was good for about 18 to 20 per night. This is a guy that I think Georgia has found, and they've prioritized him very early. He was there a couple of days this week. He took in everything. One of the things he told me Kirby Smart said is, are you ready for this? You know how tough this is? Or you see all this, the way it's, Georgia's not for everybody. And he's like, he told me, he told Coach Smart that he said he was built for that. He's wanting to be a dog. He loves everything about it. He's going to graduate early. And this is a young man, Brandon. It goes undersaid a lot. Like, we try to find those details, like 1,000-point scorer, runs tailback. But last year, Brandon, his high school football team was 0-10.
Wow.
And for him to see Georgia, a school like Georgia wants him, a school like Georgia that wins, he almost looks at that as a golden, amazing opportunity. When he gets done with football, he wants to go into law enforcement. Kind of reminds me of Micah Morris. Micah Morris wanted to be a criminal justice major, wanted to be an FBI agent, maybe a bounty hunter when he was coming up in high school. And you really like this Stephon Shivers kid. I think the recruitings really don't, rankings don't matter at all when you have a guy this big that is so important for Georgia. You think Jordan Davis, you think John Atkins, You think resetting the line of scrimmage so those linebackers can flow downhill. That's why a guy like Stephon Shivers is so important.
A lot to like for sure. Georgia remains busy this weekend. Another crop of visitors expected to come in. I believe Mason Short a part of that list. It seems like that might be Georgia versus Clemson, the same way a lot of these other offensive line battles are sort of shaping up to be there on that. Can you give us a little preview of what else Georgia kind of has going on here this weekend, as a lot of us celebrating Easter, but Georgia working just as hard as ever?
Yeah, trying to pick up all your question there, Brandon, but Mason Short is kind of huge. He's expected to make his decision now on April the 4th. I don't know if you heard that before you went on air, okay, but April the 4th, and now you combine that with April the 2nd for Matt Zollers, and all of a sudden that first week of April gets very interesting. This is a big weekend because a lot of guys are going to see Georgia again with that first scrimmage this weekend. They're going to come see, kind of pop the hood and see how the Dogs do it. Mason Short, really, if you pay attention to this recruiting process, it's really Clemson. It's really Georgia. He was a former Alabama commitment. So he's a guy that, Brandon, when he gets to campus, he doesn't want photo shoots. He kind of just wants to be a fly on the wall. He wants to observe. He wants to see what a typical day in the life is like. He doesn't care about all the recruiting theatrics, so to speak. And this is a kid, even though he's from Metro Augusta, Georgia, Columbia County, has its rural roots. He likes to fish. He likes to do all that other stuff. He likes to play golf. And Mason is a guy that's like really ready for this drama to be over with. And the fact that, you know, Brandon, he had said his timeline publicly was like at the end of June, basically mere days ago. And now he's moved it all the way up to the first week of April, which is could be a good week for the Dogs, because somehow we're going to have to scratch our heads on this one. Somehow the Dogs, considering what happened with Justice Terry, they're waiting a little bit longer in this class. Right now, we're almost to April, Brandon, and we see that the Dogs are number 15 in the recruiting rankings on the 24/7 sports composite. And that is definitely, definitely rare air right now for Dogs.
Yeah, certainly not where they're used to being. Obviously looking forward to watching that ranking climb here in the weeks to come. And I'll finish with the name that you just mentioned a moment ago, Matt Zollers. I believe it's a Penn State visit, kind of a home state deal for him this weekend, going to see Penn State. Then he's got the Georgia visit coming up, and then obviously decision time for him shortly after that. Where do you think things stand with Zollers right now with these visits coming up and then a commitment announcement shortly after that?
This is going to be pretty simple, Brandon. No NIL will matter here for Matt Zollers. He's got an older brother that's a walk-on at Pitt. He wants stability, and I don't think Pitt offers stability. See now, kind of the buzzword right now for a lot of Georgia with targets would be the word stability. And it's not just stability guys that'll be around, but it's kind of like championship top of the mountain stability. I think Zollers, who I said a second ago, is not going to be swayed by NIL. I think he's going to visit he's going to visit Penn State. He's going to visit over the next couple of days. He's going to visit Georgia on April the 2nd, and then he's going to make a decision. And what I simply believe happens there is Georgia's given him the go ahead to say, hey, we'll take your commitment at any time. And I think what happens there is if Georgia's the best visit and the best fit, he's going to know by the morning of April the 3rd, and he's going to be ready to make his decision on April the 2nd as well.
So a quick final follow-up for me. You know, a year ago, Ryan Puglisi was willing to be a part of a two-quarterback class for Georgia, which we thought at one point in time would be Dylan Raiola. How about in this case? If Zoller says yes, does that mean that the Julian Juju Lewis situation has stopped? Or is there a chance that Zollers and Lewis could be a part of a two-quarterback class for Georgia here in the class of 2025?
Brandon, you're kicking the right tires there for a second, because there's one big data point about Zollers I wanted to get in. First of those is that if you currently look at Pitt, they already have a quarterback committed. If you currently look at Penn State, they already have a quarterback committed. Now, of course, those guys could decommit and move somewhere else, but those are potential two quarterback classes for two of his suitors that he's seen more than anyone else. The schools he needed to see the most discovery on, that was Mizzou, and that was the University of Georgia. Now, the thing I like about your question there is you're kind of on the right track. The question for me becomes not Julian Lewis, but it becomes Ryan Montgomery. And that's the guy that they also like a lot out of the state of Ohio, that South Carolina absolutely adores and Florida absolutely adores. Now, the thought of a two-quarterback class there, That's interesting, Brandon, because Georgia's running possible scenarios, possible mock-ups, and they're like, we do need to get our quarterback number up. They do need to have four guys in the room that are on scholarship. That's what, you know, Georgia really feels comfortable with, at least three guys in on scholarship. And who knows what happens with the portal, but you assume Carson Beck moves on. And then you're like, here's a question that I've been kicking around a lot. Would you rather have Ryan Montgomery as the other scholarship quarterback in the room as part of your two quarterback class in 2025, kind of trying to copy the model and the blueprint, the template established for the 2024 class with Dylan Raiola and also Ryan Puglisi? Do you want to try and do that again in 2025? But here's where it gets interesting for me. That's one element. But where it really gets interesting for me is you think about Ryan Montgomery, right? Now, he's a top 15 quarterback, a top 200 overall prospect. And you think about, is that guy for a couple of years who's already stated that he doesn't mind being developed at Georgia? He doesn't mind waiting his turn. He even told me he could wait a long time, maybe not Carson Beck long, but a lot longer than it seems Julian Lewis and his family feel comfortable with. You have to think Montgomery as a second quarterback in 2025. Do you like that better than getting a portal quarterback coming out in April of 2024? Somebody that doesn't have a job, that doesn't have a secured job or secured path to playing time right now. They would come to Georgia and feel like they could beat out Ryan Puglisi. They could beat out Gunnar Stockton as the heir apparent to Carson Beck for the 2025 season. That's something to consider in terms of what you can get on the transfer portal market that's going to be a lot better than Ryan Montgomery that's willing to wait and kind of develop the way the University of Georgia likes to do with its quarterbacks.
Big decisions on tap for Georgia when it comes to quarterback recruiting, Jeff. We know you'll keep us updated on all of that as it plays out. We hope you and your family have a very happy Easter weekend. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger today. Glad to have you back after a fruitful trip up to Tennessee, and we will look forward to talking to you back here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger again very soon as well.
Thanks, BA. Happy opening day, everybody.
That's right.
Happy Easter as well.
That's right. Love the Braves jersey, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So when it's all said and done, Jeff Sintel worth the wait there. Really good stuff on a lot of things. And by the way, big dates coming up for Georgia recruiting. Mason Short, I wasn't aware that his commitment announcement coming up as quickly as it is. That's a guy that you want to win with. And it sounds like Clemson's trying to give its push. And the Matt Zoller's decision perhaps foreshadowing other decisions as well that Jeff Sintel lays out in a very compelling fashion. So all of that going down. Now, let's get ready to go cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And when I think about Royal Caribbean, one of the things that I think about is the great opportunity I had to be on board Icon of the Seas this past January. And, you know, if you're watching on video, you get a chance to see some of the video that we show on this. And I think the one thing that hopefully is conveyed by this, or if you listen radio podcast and you go out and check this out yourself, is just the different feel you get depending on the various neighborhoods that you're on there as a part of Icon of the Seas, including the Surfside neighborhood there. Surfside's a little bit of a new neighborhood concept for Royal Caribbean. It's kind of a very family-friendly type thing. It's a place where kids can play, where families can get together. Even the food and the restaurant options around there are sort of done with family in mind. Of course, you see the carousel there. Kids, obviously, love that. You look across, you see Splash Away Bay. It's kind of on the back of the cruise ship there as a part of Icon of the Seas. And it's just one of the things that Royal Caribbean does a great job with, which is making their cruise ships as family friendly as any vacation you're ever going to be able to take. If you're a family, I promise you, you will love a Royal Caribbean cruise vacation. That's why I want you to reach out to Jessica Slater right now. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can also email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. 2024 is a great time to take a Royal Caribbean cruise vacation. If you want to walk through the Central Park neighborhood there, experience the real live foliage. It's always kind of fun to watch people kind of touch it and feel it. And is this real? Yeah, those are real plants. That's real, you know, sort of trees growing out there on the cruise ship. That's all real. And the restaurants and the fun stuff all around there is a great time there as well. You're going to love everything about Icon of the Seas, or whichever Royal Caribbean cruise ship you choose to be on here for 2024. Jessica Slater will tell you more about it. Give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147, or email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. She'll tell you everything you need to know. So last night, Sweet 16 action. The big result, a couple of them, I guess. My national champion, Arizona, they're gone. You don't care about my bracket, but it is essentially busted now. And in the game that we sort of assumed would be the most entertaining of the night, turns out to be that way, as Alabama knocks off North Carolina. Now, here's where I kind of am right now. I'm not proud of myself for being a hater, but I'm essentially going to sort of be a hater here on this. For the rest of the way, I'm sort of anybody but Alabama to win the national championship. That's essentially my rule from this point forward, is I don't want Alabama to win the national championship. You know, I don't want those Bama fans to have this over us. So I will definitely be rooting against. I don't love rooting for Clemson in a basketball game that sort of feels like it ought to be the Sugar Bowl or something like that. I don't love that necessarily, but I do revel in the chance to kind of root against Alabama the rest of the way. So I'll be a little bit of a hater, and I'll be doing that. Of course, another SEC team in action tonight as March Madness rolls on. You got late tonight. In fact, it's not even scheduled to tip off until after 10 p.m., Tennessee and Creighton. You've also got two other one seeds in action, Purdue, which has looked like a much better version of itself than it has the last 3 years. They'll take on Gonzaga. You got Houston and Duke. For a lot of people, that's going to draw a lot of interest. And then you've got NC State, who's kind of the Cinderella story of the Sweet 16. They get a chance to take on Marquette. And if you're curious about how our Dog Nation Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge is playing out right now, Shanna Jarrett, by the way, I got a little bit of a correction. I want to make sure I pronounce her name correctly. Shanna's a good friend of ours. Shanna is on top of the bracket right now. She's got Purdue winning it all. You've got Robbie Rainey kind of climbing the ladder here pretty quick, now in second place overall in our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge. He's got UConn as his national champ, and he's just a point behind Shanna. As good as UConn looks right now, Robbie might actually be in the driver's seat here. You've essentially, for the moment, got two other folks kind of alive in this. Lance Deaton, who's got Houston winning it all, he's got 56 points. Stephen England, who's also on Purdue, he's got 55. So right now, the best that I can tell, our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge might be a battle between Shanna Jarrett, Robbie Rainey, Lance Deaton, Stephen England. And frankly, Robbie may prove to be pretty tough to beat because he's the one that's got UConn, and UConn the chalkiest of the picks. But right now, they're looking pretty close to unbeatable here at the moment. So interesting stuff coming out of South Bend, Indiana, where brand new athletic director, you know, Jack Swarbrick is retiring as the Notre Dame athletic director. They've got a new athletic director in place, and you kind of wonder what that changeover, how much, how much Notre Dame might be willing to consider other change as well, perhaps doing something that they've been hesitant to do in the past, like, say, joining a conference. Obviously, in 2020, during the pandemic, they played as a part of the ACC. But Notre Dame has been pretty steadfast in its willingness to remain an independent. And according to the new athletic director in place, that's going to remain kind of a idea that Notre Dame very closely believes in there as well. They want to remain independent. In fact, the statement coming out of South Bend is they feel their status as an independent is more valuable than ever moving forward. But this was also interesting the other day because, you know, when the playoff format came out and we were kind of thinking about a 12-team playoff, now we're moving to 14, but when it was just a 12-team playoff, you know, the four top seeds who get the bye out of the first round of the playoff, you actually have to be a conference champion to earn one of those top four seeds. And Jack Swarbrick was on the committee that came up with that. A, that tells you that there is a lot of value in being a 5, 6, 7, and 8 seed getting a chance to host a playoff game, apparently to Notre Dame there as well, because seemingly they were okay being excluded for a chance to be kind of a first round bye and taking care of the bowl system and giving those teams byes into those games. So we may see more home playoff games in the future as it relates to the college football playoff. Teams seem to really, really want those. But also that process that's at least on paper punitive Notre Dame, they're not bothered by it at all, which once again sort of reinforces the idea here that Notre Dame, at least for the moment, seems pretty committed to being an independent. That's the message coming out of South Bend, even after the retirement of Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director. I was going to do a thing on the Arkansas quarterback competition, but that sort of feels like something we can probably save for a later date. Let's just go ahead and wrap that up and make that cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And as we say goodbye, we'll do so with a golden shoe. And one of the things we mentioned yesterday was I always like it when y'all share cool stuff with me, including our golden shoe winner today, Broke My Chair on X, who shares the appearance by AJ Styles, the WWE superstar, on the Paul Feinbaum show this week. And they were talking about Kirby Smart and his ability to be a wrestler. And AJ said some funny stuff there on that. Many of you also know, some of you do anyway, AJ Styles and I actually went to high school together. So I'm very proud of the career that he's put together. Looking forward to seeing him at WrestleMania. I'd say take it easy on LA Knight. We like him in our household. But nonetheless, AJ Styles, one of our all-time favorites. And also, like me, a graduate of Johnson High School there in South Hall County. And nice to see him represent UGA on the Paul Feinbaum show this week. We'll give a golden shoe to both AJ Styles and Broke My Chair for sharing that with us here today. Lousy, stinking Gators. Listen, they got nothing to look forward to. 1,238 days. That's how long it's been since they've beaten Georgia. That is our Gator Hater Updater. All of you, hope you have a happy Easter. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you back here Monday. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.